chill. They say I'm nasty, but I don't give a damn. Getting girls is how I live. Some nasty questions, why am I so real? But they don't understand me, or really don't know the deal about a brother trying hard to make it right. Not long ago, before I win this fight, say,
everybody's talking all this stuff about me. Why don't they just let me live?
Tell me why.
I don't need permission, make my own decisions.
Oh,
that's my prerogative.
It's my prerogative.
It's the way that I want to live.
Hey there, my Tsunami Generation. It is I, Thomas, Metal Floor Absolution co-host, here with a brand new episode of Tom's Top 10, right here on the Absolution Network. For my second episode of this show, you know, I kind of waited about a week, and I think it's going to seem like a week and a half since it's happened. You know, about a week and a half ago, we lost a national treasure and one of the greatest comedians, one of the greatest actors, one of the greatest people that I think has ever set foot on this earth, in Robin Williams. A lot of people showed outpouring on Facebook and on Twitter, and I kind of stayed back from that because it was one of those things to where I'm the type of person to, when something kind of does affect me really much and, you know, I really feel deeply about something, I don't want to do a, you know, oh, Robin Williams, you will be missed, RIP, as simple as that sounds, or, you know, doing some meme or picture. I want to be something more. I want it to be more thoughtful and more thought-provoking. So I've kind of held back, and I knew at that point that I wanted to do something podcasting-wise to talk about Robin Williams, because he has meant, so much to my childhood. I mean, I think anybody of my age and of my ilk who grew up during the 90s, you know, Robin Williams was a massive figure as far as, you know, growing up for kids' films. I think, you know, Jack, Hook, Aladdin, tons of other movies, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, so many movies that are a part of our childhood as far as comedies are concerned, in particular family comedies, that we all grew up loving. And it's one of those things to where, you know, you enjoyed those movies as a kid, and as you grew up and as you became more mature and could appreciate and actually understand more mature films, you were able to go back and watch some of his other films. You know, Dead Poets Society and The Fisher King, Good Morning Vietnam, Good Will Hunting, What Dreams May Come. Not necessarily, by the way, saying good or bad film, but just you could enjoy his acting and the depth of his acting for more than just comedy. You can enjoy his more serious roles. You can enjoy the parts where he plays a villain. You know, because Robin Williams has been that. He's been a villain, he's been a hero, he's been a main character, he's been a supporting character. He's been everything. He's done comedy, thriller, horror, action, drama. He's done it all. He has that wide of a range. It's why so many people, you know, are just heartbroken by this loss. Not just because he considered him a national treasure to acting, but because he really was that great of a man. You know, when they say the things about how he really cared about people and how he wanted to put smiles on people's faces, you know, that's really true. You know, and that's something I think I kind of connect with Robin Williams on, because I really am the same way. You know, I do a lot of goofy things, and I allow people to, you know, say goofy things about me. I'm always willing to be the butt end of a joke, because at the end of the day, I'm somebody who really just loves to see people smile and be happy. And so I can appreciate seeing somebody else who's really dedicated to doing that. So, and that's what this episode is kind of going to be about as far as movies are concerned. On this episode, I'm going to discuss what is I consider my top 10 Robin Williams movies. So for us to go back and look at movies, or at least that I felt were his best. Not to say that this is the definitive list of what are the best Robin Williams movies. You know, because of the type of movies I like, obviously, I've not seen every movie. Like, I've not seen some of his thrillers, like Insomnia and 24 Photo, because I'm not a horror guy. I know that seeming... It's one of these strange things. I'm very... It, depending on the film, I'm very squeamish with blood. Like, I don't like seeing horror and slasher films because I don't like the blood, and yet I love watching things like Beetlejuice or MacGyver and things where monsters' head cut. I guess it's whose head is getting cut off. If you're showing the pretty big boob cheerleader in tight outfit getting rammed through in blood and her head cut off and violently destroyed, squeamish, but an ugly monster getting his head cut off, I'm all right with that. So there are some films of his that I've not seen yet, or I've seen pieces of. This is mostly films of his that I've seen. And I just want this to be in, you know, in remembrance of Robin Williams, because it's... He has meant so much to my childhood, and he really is... You know, when we talk about Robin Williams being one of the most brilliant men in comedy, we really mean it. I mean, no man can really match just what an improv artist he is. You know, one of my favorite episodes of Inside the Acting Studio, and really the only one I really love watching, to be quite honest. I mean, I do watch Inside the Actor Studio, and I love watching because I love listening to actors. For me, that's where I've learned a lot about, you know, acting. Not that I can be an actor because I watched that show, but you can learn things. You know, those shows are meant to be educational in a way because they are trying to give knowledge about what to do on the stage, whether it be in movie or television or whichever. Another good one, by the way, is when they have the Simpson voice actors on. That's a good Inside the Actor Studio too. But Robin Williams is my favorite because it's for the hour and a half he was there, he was just brilliant and just so much knowledge learned. And it really put my mind into just what improv is and just how brilliant he is. You know, there's a point where he does an example and he takes a woman's shawl and he just like rapid fires through improv impressions. You know, he's like somebody fancy or something like that. Then he becomes a rabbi and then he becomes, you know, I don't want to say Jewish woman, but somebody praying, you know, like that, and go through all these things, and then the final one he does is he folds up the shawl, everything, and he folds up where the tassels are hanging down, and then he waves it back and forth, and he slowly brings it over his head, basically that he's turned it into a car wash. It's brilliant. It's one of those amazing things. Robin Williams is the reason why I love improv comedy. Because there's a great joke, I believe it's from Frank Caliendo, where he says, you know, Robin Williams can make anything, any place sound interesting. You know, Robin Williams can walk into him like, oh my god, what an incredibly wonderful place! Mr. Williams, it's your bathroom. Oh. And yet, that's the type of comedian he was. He could walk into the most mundane place with the most mundane objects and make it seem like the wonderful world of Oz. That's how brilliant of a comedian he was. They're so, you know, quick-witted, so quick at improv, always 20 steps, if more than that, ahead of everybody else. No one can and just match him in that. So, today's episode, in honor of Robin Williams, one of the greatest comedians, he's in my top three, one of the greatest actors we've ever had. So, in honor of him, I'm going to count down my top 10 Robin Williams. Shall we? Before I get started, I do want to give a couple of honorable mentions to some that didn't make the list. One for a sort of different reason than, it just didn't make the list. Actually, it probably would have been high on the list, but I felt it was unfair to include it. Because they're technically not films. They weren't in the... One was, I think, in a theater, but at the same point in time, it's stand-up comedy, basically. That's Robin Williams Live at the Met, Robin Williams Live on Broadway, Met in 1986, Broadway in 2002, and I also want to include in there, I don't think there ever was a TV recording of it, I think it was just an audio recording, An Evening with Robin Williams. Though, just, they're hilarious comedy albums, where Robin Williams is just brilliant in it. Because it's stand-up comedy, I felt it was unfair to, to put these ahead of films. But I think they deserve their own spot as well. And Night at the Museum. The entire franchise, I think Robin Williams, he's been pretty good at it and he's made me laugh. I think he makes a great Theodore Roosevelt. And I've enjoyed them, I'm not usually a huge fan of Ben Affleck. But those movies are enjoyable. I find Ben Affleck colorful in there, and Robin Williams definitely has his moments in that film franchise. But we're gonna start the countdown off proper with a film I think might surprise some people. At number 10, I have Man of the Year from 2006. If you've not heard of this film, basically it's a film where Williams portrays a sort of comedy, political talk show, a satirical comedian, does a satirical political talk show, pretty much like The Daily Show, loosely based off Jon Stewart. He basically, due to an offhand remark, and due to 4 million people emailing him, decides to run for president. Things happen, there's fraud in the election, and it causes him to win the presidency. And he, for at least for a little bit, is the president-elect of the United States. There's some good actors. Christopher Walken, Laura Linney, Louis Black, Jeff Goldblum is in this. I remember going to see this at theaters, and I want to see it because it was Robin Williams. It was a nice little film. I think it was during the winter. In fact, let me look to when it came out in October, actually. So it was one of during that off period. And hey, let's go see the movie. Oh, hey, there's a Robin Williams movie. Let's go see it. I really did enjoy it. It was funny. I don't know if everybody will enjoy it. But I certainly enjoyed it. He's not, laugh out loud hilarious. But this was a more subdued comedy. And I enjoyed it for what it was. I think it's one of those films that it's a nice viewing once. You see it. It's a nice little comedy to enjoy maybe on a night with the family. So Man of the Year is number 10. Number 9. Jumanji. From 1995. I actually went to the theater. I didn't know Robin Williams was in this. I think I went to see this movie. The first time I saw it, I actually saw it as part of Art Club. You know, I think I talked about it before, how Art Club would, or at least in my last Thomas's Top 5, where I talked about how, you know, Art Club, they would turn the summer to tickets to the movie, which is a mile away at the Dollar Movie Theater, which meant crossing the train tracks and everything. And I think it was on one of those trips in 95 that I went to go see Jumanji. And, you know, this one was a lot of people. I mean, you have a very young Kirsten Dunst. You have Bradley Pierce. A very young Bradley Pierce. Bonnie Hunt is in this. You have David Alan Grier. David Alan Grier is a very underestimated actor. I think he does a lot of good stuff. He's a great supporting actor, for that matter. This is... You know, looking back, it's a fun movie. It would inspire a sequel of sorts in Zathor that was basically in the same vein. I mean, really, there is no other movie like it, really. I mean, can you really... other than Zathor, is there really any other movie to where, you know, kids play a board game and it brings stuff to life? And, you know, it was a fun movie. You know, it was showing Robin Williams a bit more serious with more subdued comedy. I really enjoyed it. You know, oddly enough, though, my favorite joke in this movie is at the end. You know, they met the kids and basically, you know, the kids get revealed that, you know, they just recently lost their parents. Or at least throughout the movie you learn that. And of course Robin Williams, the Bonnie Hunt's character, learns that. They learn that, you know, they just lost their parents due to a snow accident. Come to the end of the movie, you know, basically they're transported back in time, so they grow up, of course, and it's to the point where, you know, they basically meet the parents at the party. They're like, oh, we're going on a skiing expedition. Would you like to come with us? No! No! I'm like, I don't know why that one in particular makes me laugh. But, you know, I really think it was a good role that Robin Williams did. I thought he had great range throughout the movie. And it's sort of one of those nostalgic little childhood movies. I haven't watched it in ages, to be quite honest. I don't know. I mean, there are some points in the movie where it seems to get slow, but still... It's I like to call it sort of a child thriller, even though it's a fantasy adventure. But I definitely think, if you've not seen Jumanji, and I guess this would go specifically towards younger people who may have never seen it, but even to adults who may have never seen it, I think it's worth giving a role. Or viewing, I should say. Number 8... Flubber! Yes, it's a remake, and I think people have talked about this film enough. Starring Robin Williams, Marcy Gay, Harden, Christopher McDonald, Ted Levine, Raymond J. Berry. Clancy Brown is in this! Oh, that's the second time tonight I've witnessed Clancy Brown. For context... I was earlier tonight watching Homefront on Netflix, which is an action thriller starring Jason Statham, and the bad guy is played by James Franco, and there's that moment where, like, I guess a main street or some street that looks like New Orleans main street, where James Franco's character, in an attempt to be seen at a public place so he's not seen at the scene of a crime, is talking with Clancy Brown's character, who's a sheriff, and you have that realization that, oh my god, Lex Luthor is talking to Harry Osborn. That's it for that divergence of the night, but you know, I remember enjoying Flubber. You know, the use of CG was interesting. And, you know, I thought Robin Williams did a great job in this. I found him to be very funny in it. Again, a bit more of that subdued comedy like he was doing in Jumanji. You know, it's one of those things where it's a remake, and I think people sometimes unfairly judge remakes. I mean, like, I certainly see some of it now to where, you know, you have a film made and then it's remade so quickly. But this was a remake of a film that was done in 1961. And I think both are good. I think you can enjoy both. It's all about the sort of the time frame it's set in. And some people have a problem with that. I don't. And I find Robin Williams to be very enjoyable. And I have fun watching this movie. I haven't watched it in ages. Maybe I need to sit down and watch it again. I could probably bring it up on Netflix, actually. Number 7. Robots. Now, I went and saw this movie in 2005 in theaters. And I went to see it solely... Well, for two sole reasons. One was Mel Brooks. But two, and the more important, is that it was Robin Williams. And I believe it was Robin Williams... In fact, I know it was Robin Williams' first, like, animated role in a long time. I'm trying to look up to see which... At least till since 1996. But that was a direct-to-DVD movie. That was... let me bring it back up here. Where are you? There you are. That was in Aladdin, King of Thieves. It was basically his first, you know, voice role since then. But as far as a film that came out in theaters, it was his first voice role since 1992, which was a year that brought us both Aladdin and Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest. So I went to pretty much see this film just because of that. And you know what? It's a very, very good computer animated film. Again, this is sort of the early time of, you know, CG animated films. Here, again, the CG obviously works. The film starred Ewan McGregor, who was very hot at the time because of the Star Wars prequels. Halle Berry... Again, very hot at the time. Greg Kinnear, as I said, Mel Brooks, and Robin Williams, Amanda Bynes, Drew Carey. And I like Drew Carey, too. You know, I found it to be a very fun film. And you know, it's a nice little fun family film, I found. With a lot of pop culture jokes. Obviously, they were trying to channel that Aladdin genie Robin Williams. I don't know if they were completely successful, but, you know, Robin Williams, I did feel, was very funny in the film. I don't know why, but I think my favorite, or at least the one I remember making me laugh very hard, is when he becomes female. You know, and does the Britney Spears parody. Why? It's so cheesy, and yet Robin Williams is able to make me laugh so hard at it. And that's the brilliance of Robin Williams, is that joke, you see it coming a mile away, it's such a pop culture joke, and it's so cheesy, and yet Robin Williams doing it makes you laugh your ass off. So, and you know, at the end of the day, it is a pretty good film. It's a nice computer graphics animated film. Maybe I should review it. I think probably find it on Netflix. I personally enjoyed it. I think it's very funny. I think you really should give it a watch. It's not just a ripoff of anything and of or Aladdin, I was going to say, because it's far from being a ripoff. But it's far... I would say they're not just trying to rip off, you know, Robin Williams doing the genie voice and or trying to ride that. There is a very solid film there with, you know, a great voice cast that I thought did a great job. It is a bit of, you know, how many names we can put on the box with, you know, Ewan McGregor, Halle Berry, Robin Williams, Mel Brooks, Drew Carey. But at the same point in time, I thought they did a great job. So that was number 7. So let's go to number 6. At number six, I have Good Morning Vietnam. Now, I have actually only seen this movie once, but it left such an impression on me. Because I remember wanting to see it because I heard this was where Robin Williams got his big break. And I can certainly see why. You know, he is wonderful and great in this film. It's obviously, as I think anybody would say, again, being that it was the sort of his first major role in which he got noticed. But really, he really is just that brilliant. There's a reason why it is the film that launched his career. And it really set in stone what his style was. You know, it's this type of performance that people would be looking to recapture in films afterwards. Some successful, some not. And, you know, it is a very good sort of period piece film. You know, that definitely still, it's comedy, but it also has that serious side of talking about the horrors of the Vietnam War. Which, you know, talking about the Vietnam War is always a hard thing. Because, you know, historians, I think, always want to, you know, debate it. But really, there's nothing to debate. Really, if you look at it, we never lost Vietnam. Militarily, we crushed Northern Vietnam. It was, you know, the anti-war movement and the media that proclaimed that we really lost the war. And, you know, if you really look at it, if we had continued, we probably would have crushed them out of Northern Vietnam. But it was the anti-war movement that brought us back. But that's a history lesson. That's a story for a different day. But Robin Williams, I think, was just brilliant. What I think it's also understated is everybody points to the comedy, obviously, you know, as the shock jock and going to all the voices. But I think this film showed his range. Because this is a serious film in a lot of places. And I think it really showed Robin Williams' range as an actor in this film. And the same can be said for the next film. Now, Good Morning Vietnam came in 1987. And 2 years later, our next film, our number five film, came out. Dead Poets Society. Again, showing off Robin Williams' comedy, but again, showing off his serious side. Now, I've only seen this film once, and you know what? I think I always confuse this film with the Danny DeVito film. I would have to look it up. So, give me while I do. But, you know, I remember the one time seeing this film, I really loved it. It's got a nice, solid story. And, you know, I don't really remember much of it. Because I've seen it, or when I saw it, it was so long ago. But, at the same point in time, I just remember enjoying it immensely. I apologize. I'm distracting myself by trying to find this Danny DeVito film. Maybe I should go to filmography. That would probably help. But I just remember enjoying it, and again, the range of Robin Williams acting. That's what showed off the best about this movie, or what I remember the most is that I remember his acting the most. I remember, you know, his performance most of all. And it's like, I remember him taking them to the theater to see Hamlet and everything. And, you know, there is a lot of good, I think, roles done. Or performances, I should say, in this movie. Again, I'm being distracted. I apologize. And I found the movie, by the way. But at the same point in time, I remember, in particular, I remember him taking the Gut Boys to to the play. And here's why I confuse it with the Danny DeVito. I'm confusing it with Renaissance Man, which is another great film. And it also has that point to where they're taking the, you know, where Danny DeVito takes the cadets out to a theater. Both films, by the way, are brilliant. I think Dead Poets Society is a little bit more serious. I think it's a little bit more better. Renaissance Man is more of a pure comedy. But definitely, I love Dead Poets Society. I have to try to get it and watch it again. I probably need to go find it on Netflix. I'm sure it's on Netflix. But I probably have to go and find that film again, because it is a very good film, and I do highly suggest everybody going and watching it. Where are we? Okay, we're at number four. I apologize. I'm like going down the photography, and We apologize for technical difficulties as I set up the web pages for the upcoming films. So at number four we have Hook. Obviously a beloved film from our childhood. It's a fantasy film by Steven Spielberg, basically where Peter Pan is grown up. And you know, it's got Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman as Hook, Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell, the legendary Bob Hoskins, God rest his soul, as Smee, Maggie Smith as Granny Wendy, and of course a very, very young Dante Basco as Rufio, who, again, it's another one of these weird things to where 2 days before Robin Williams' death, I was in a hotel room at Otakon with a bunch of people talking with Dante Pasco about Robin Williams. So that's it's one of those very creepy things as well, that this unfortunate situation. But again, it's a beloved childhood classic, and you know, there are things you could definitely make fun of, but at the same point in time, Robin Williams' performance is golden in this film. Hook is one of those fantasy adventure films that, yeah, if I had to make a list of these live-action fantasy adventure films from my childhood that, I love and will watch over and over again, you know, like, one is The Goonies, and Hook is definitely on that list as well, with The Goonies and some other films, like Sandlot, which is not really a fantasy adventure film. But I guess more or less childhood films that I put into a category, like Sandlot. Sandlot and Goonies in the same category list of like childhood films I basically would watch that I feel like most are like fantasy adventures. What's the name of that video game movie that I can't remember, to where the three kids go across country for the little kids so he can play in the Nintendo World Champions, and you know, they ride along the Universal Studio tram ride and get stuck in the King Kong encounter. And I'm sure somebody will email me and tell me what it is. Because, you know, people always email me. But just, you know, the sets for this movie and just the imagination and everything. And, you know, it was a good, solid story. Robin Williams had a lot of good, funny moments. And again, that where he balanced the comedy along with the seriousness very well. But it's just, yeah, Hook, definitely one of my beloved films from my childhood. At number three, this may be a little bit more controversial. Because Robin Williams plays kind of a villain, but it's more of a comedic role. Because this is a very black comedy. From 2002, Death to Smoochie. This is a very underrated film. It stars Robin Williams, Edward Norton, Kathleen Turner, Jon Stewart, Danny DeVito. If you've not heard of this movie before, it's a black comedy about where Robin Williams is this sort of corrupt child television host that gets disgraced by the FBI for making deal with children who want to be on the show. And he's replaced by this squeaky clean person played by Edward Norton, who has this character called Smoochy the Rhino. And basically throughout the film, Randolph is trying to do different things to ruin Norton's character so that he can get his television show back. It's a dark comedy about the deep underness of child television. And I think part of the reason we love it so much is for those of us who hated Barney and hated all the shows like that, it's like, this is sort of our revenge on it, because that's obviously what it's inspired by. I'm not going to put Sesame Street, because Sesame Street doesn't deserve that. Sesame Street is too well-respected to be said that it's horrible. But Barney? Barney, that motherfucker gets put in there. And it was just a really hilarious film, and I found myself laughing. Robin Williams did, I thought, a great job, and Edward Norton, I thought, did a great job playing this sort of squeaky clean, very ignorant character. And I thought, again, when you have Danny DeVito and Jon Stewart, a very young Jon Stewart, this was, I think, right about the time where he just started The Daily Show, for that matter. It's a very, very, I think, underrated film. And I think they do a great job. And I personally find it funny. And I personally enjoy it. So that's number three. So we're down to our number top two. You probably can guess what the top two are. But for me, they go like this. Number two, we have Mrs. Doubtfire. What do I need to say about this 1993 film that has, starts Robin Williams, Sally Fields, Lisa Jacobs, Matthew Lawrence, Maria Wilson, Pierce. It's got James Bond in it, for love's sake. And, of course, my beloved favorite, Harvey Weinstein. I want to say he's still alive. Let me just double check. Yes, he's still alive, thank God. I remember, I think I did a review of a film that he was a part of, and I can't remember it now, and I apologize, because I remember going off on, oh my God, the great Harvey Weinstein, I'm so eclipsed. Oh God, how many times have I watched this film, and how much do I love it? Hell, we even did a again, it's scary, it really is scary. And I ended up never doing it because I was so busy and I forgot to do it. But, on the car ride to Otakon this year, out of nowhere, I go, Figaro! Figaro, 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 Figaro! And all of a sudden, we all in the car start breaking up. And that all comes from the opening scene of the goddamn movie! I mean, I am a fan of Aerosmith because of this movie. Because, the great montage scene where the dude looks like a lady in it, did it, dude looks like a lady. But Robin Williams is brilliant in this movie. And, you want to talk about meshing the comedic genius and just all-out, comedy of Robin Williams with the great serious part of Robin Williams, and it meshing so perfectly. It's just brilliant. There's so many good scenes. How do you pick a scene in this movie that he is to showcase his brilliance? As far as comedy, my favorite is, where he comes to that realization, I could be a nanny. And he gets the job, and he knocks on his brother's door, and he looks out of the fence and goes, he looks at his brother Frank, and he goes, Frank, I want you to make me a woman. Oh, honey, how are you? It's so brilliant, and that whole, we're going through impressions and the different, faces. Like, oh my god. But as far as the seriousness is concerned, the point, the one that comes to mind is where he's talking to Sally and he's talking about, like, how do I clean? Do you know how it feels when you have the person basically asking you because they think you're weird? And you really feel for this character who all he wants to do is make his children happy, and all he wants to do is be there with his children. They are his life. He's going through all this stuff just to be with his kids. In a world where, because of what the world is, they constantly just give kids in a divorce to the female. Because he's an actor and he can't afford the big home. Which is completely unfair to him. And you feel for his character. The movie is just brilliant. And I don't think people appreciate all the underlying aspects of this movie that just make it brilliant. Oh, God. But by the way, what did Lisa Hitchcock... I know she did something, and I have to look it up. She's an Independence Day? Please don't tell me she was the stripper who gets killed on the top of the L.A. building. Please tell me that wasn't her. Well, I thought she would have done more. She hasn't. Anyways, but yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire, number two. I have a hard time believing nobody has seen that movie, but if you haven't, go see it now, rent it, do whatever, and yeah, it's one of those films you watch over and over and over again. Which brings us to number one. Is there really a surprise to what number one? Aladdin. And, I actually thought about this for a long time. I really did. Because, should I put Mrs. Doubtfire number one and Aladdin number two? Because, Mrs. Doubtfire, he's the main lead. And while he is a main character, he's a supporting character in Aladdin. But at the end of the day, there's a reason why this is maybe his most well-known role. I mean, this and Mrs. Doubtfire are probably his two most well-known roles for a reason. This film, part of the sell of this film was, a genie that basically very much like Robin Williams. And they got Robin Williams. And I'll be damned if Robin Williams almost... I hate to sit there and say he stole the whole movie. Because, again, I've reviewed this movie. Robin Williams is brilliant in it. And all the voice acting is brilliant. I mean, it's one of those things to where Linda Larkin, who voices Jasmine, is the worst voice actor in this movie by default. And she's brilliant in it. But Scott Wagner, the lead, was brilliant. And Frank Weckler is a okay, let me be fair. Frank Weckler is the worst voice actor in this movie, again, by default, only because he's playing a monkey. And as brilliant as he is playing that monkey, combined with Little Larkin's brilliance as Jasmine, Scott Wagner as Aladdin, Jonathan Freeman as Jafar, Gilbert Godfrey is the hilarious sidekick, and of course Robin Williams as a genie, it's... If it was any other movie, he'd be the best voice actor. In this, he's the worst by default. In other words, there is no bad voice actor. But Robin Williams, he's brilliant. The genie is an iconic character of Disney because of what Robin Williams did with the character. And a lot of it was improv. Everybody has want lists. And I certainly have a want list. The list of things I would love to do in my life or love to be able to buy or something, go on a date with a porn star. Of course, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Getting to do an edited, uncensored interview with Hayao Miyazaki, among other great, you know, anime artists, getting to go to Japan, you know, tons of things. But if I had the money, one of the top three things I would buy is, as the story goes from Eric Goldberg, who drew the genie in Aladdin, is, you know, the peddler scene. You know, in the beginning of the movie, you have the peddler slash narrator of the film. Doesn't really narrate the film, but, you know, he has that opening song, and he sort of narrates into the film, and the whole joke sort of kind of revealed at the end that the peddler really is the genie. And, of course, it is played by Robin Williams. And there's a point where he can be like, come on down, the best shop around! And, oh, look, combination Hoopla and, Hoopla and Lamp makes great Julian fries. Will not break. It broke. Oh, look. I haven't seen one of these intact before. It's the famous Dead Sea Tupperware. Listen. Still good. And that whole bit. Well, as the story goes to that bit, is that what they did to film that is they sent, I guess, a couple of gophers down to the thrift store and had them buy stuff. Just anything they could find. And they threw it all in a box. They covered the box. I think they covered it, or they covered it with a sheet. They brought Robin to record. They threw off the sheet. And they just let Robin Williams go and just riff off on everything that was in the box. And so if I had the money, what I would try to buy is I would go to Disney and I would give them all the money they would want to get that recording. Because I want to listen to it bad. You know, as Eric Goldberg says, and, you know, again, you can find this on the Aladdin, or at least on the Aladdin DVD. I'm sure it's probably on the new Blu-ray release. I think that is out now. Which is shocking that they basically released that with very little fanfare. I think it's coming out in the fall, though. But it may be out now. Don't correct me on that. It's just hard to imagine Aladdin, which is such a huge film, being released with little fanfare. By Disney, but then again, they are so, they're so all over Frozen now, because, so heaven forbid, you know, and, okay, I'm not gonna get into the politics of it, I'm not, we're here to celebrate Robin Williams, motherfuckers, I'm gonna celebrate Robin Williams, I'm not gonna be negative, but, you know, at one point, as Eric Goldberg says, there's a point to where he picks up a bra. They apparently bought a bra and put it in the box. He goes, look, it's a double slingshot. Woo! Then he whips over head and goes, look, it's a double yarmulke. I want that footage so bad. I just want to listen to it. I hope Disney would release it at some point. I'm not counting on it, but I would hope. But yeah, he just, Robin Williams is so brilliant in this movie, and again, his range of acting, because, you know, he has all these great comedic moments, but there are all those little serious moments in there, and Robin Williams nails! And again, this is the most iconic film from my childhood as far as what Robin Williams has been in. Slightly more than Mrs. Doubtfire. And it's a beautiful film. I don't think I need to say more about it. Everybody loves Aladdin. You know what? I don't really know anybody who hates Aladdin. And if there are, they probably don't have a soul. Because how can you hate Aladdin? I don't get it. I mean, there are people that disagree as far as listing it as their favorite films, or it's not their favorite Disney film for whatever reason. But there's nobody that says it's bad. Because it's not. It's a great film. It's an enjoyable, good film. There are people to where it's not one of their favorites, and that's fine. I'm talking about if any soul exists out there that for some reason thinks Aladdin is a bad movie. Because they obviously don't know what they're talking about. And part of the reason this is a great movie is because of Robin Williams. I almost don't want to, and now I'm blanking on him too, of course, but it's like, all the different things you could bring from this movie that, you know, Robin Williams says. I'm trying to think what, you know, the hard part is that my favorite genie moment in the whole movie it's not even something to where Robin Williams is speaking. It's, you know, again, Friend Like Me, and at the end of the song, this is an animator thing, where somebody said, just put up, they couldn't figure out how to get the audience applause, so somebody came up with the idea of, put an applause sign on him. And they literally did that, and it's one of the funniest genie jokes in the whole movie, to where he ends it, and he's looking at Aladdin, and there's that neon blinking applause sign on there. I love it. But let me think of one to where... Now, again, Robin Williams singing the song was wonderful. And like I said, I mentioned the peddler. I'm trying to think of another scene. Oh, God. You know what? As the end, his line towards the end to where Aladdin is battling Jafar. Where he changes it to the cheerleader is like, but in particular, that point to where it goes, you know, Aladdin starts bringing the genie, like, you'll never be as powerful as the genie. It's like, Al, why are you bringing me into this? I don't need to be here. it's brilliant. So, that is my Robin Williams favorite movie list. I think it's the best way to say it. Yeah. I don't know if you guys had fun. I certainly had fun thinking about and trying to count down my favorite Robin Williams movies. I mean, and you know what? There's so many out there that we're checking out. And, you know, even the movies that I think people consider bad, you know, I would say RV. Let me look down the list. You know, people say Ferngully is a bad movie. I don't think so. I still kind of enjoy it. But that, Well, there's so many movies you should work check out. Again, not saying that all of these are bad, but there are good movies and bad movies, whether it, Jack, Birdcage, Good Will Hunting, Patch Adams, or Dreams May Come. Even, you know, When Our Photo, which is a horror thriller, it's, you know, it's one of those things where you should check out, I think, anything Robin Williams is in, because he's such a brilliant actor. And I certainly had fun remembering all his films that made me laugh and that I enjoyed so much. And, you know, Robin Williams will be a person that we will dearly miss. His laughter, his comedy, I think his smile, most of all, will be missed, because the fact is that Robin Williams' smile light up the world. It truly did. And it's sad to see such a brilliant man go the way he unfortunately did. I think if there's one thing that's been learned from this, it's just how serious depression and all those things can be. And I think it shows you that one of the best things we can do anybody, whether they have depression or not, but for any friend, for any person we see, it's to just say hello. It's to just tell a joke, to just try to make them smile, because I think at the end of the day, probably what could have maybe saved Robin Williams is if somebody could make him smile. Because depression is a horrible thing. And, you know, Robin Williams spent his life trying to make the world smile. And he should be, you know, I don't think there's enough thanks that can be said for him doing that, for the dedication of his life just to make people smile. And it's kind of sad that, you know, after the, you know, he has a couple movies coming out. And I know this. Trying to see. Did this one come out yet? That got released. There's a film called Boulevard I have not seen. That came out in April. Let's see. This one. When's released it? That one came out in May. It's called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn. As Robin Williams, Mila Kunis, Peter Dinklage, and Melissa Leo. I'll have to try to check it out. But these films I know that are in post-production. Merry Frickin' Christmas. Night at the Museum. The Secret of the Tomb. And he has one more voice role coming out in 2050 called Absolutely Anything. It's a British comedy film. It has Michael Palin, Terry Gilliam, Terry Jones, Simon Pegg, Kate Beckinsale, John Cleese. You know, so it's got pretty much everybody from Monty Python. I don't know, because it says, well, it's okay. It's a live action, but it has voices from a lot of these guys, including Robin Williams. I don't know if it comes. It's scheduled, I think, for 2015, or at least that's what it's telling me. But Night in the Museum, which is scheduled for December, and Merry Christmas, which is scheduled for November. Lauren Graham, Joe McHale, Wendy McLevin-Convey, Ryan Lee, Candice Bergeron, Pierce Gannon. I'm looking at the plot now. Bodie Mitchell and his family must spend Christmas with his estranged family of misfits. Upon realizing that he left all his son's gifts at home, he hits the road with his debt in an attempt to make an 8-hour round trip before sunrise. Wow, that should be interesting. I'm definitely gonna go see them. But, you know, and everybody's been watching Robin Williams films, just to remember. And I think that's the best way we can remember him. I think it's best that we remember him for the laughs he gave us. And, you know, for the smiles he gave us. You know, because, as long as he always stays in our hearts, you know, the spirit of Robin Williams, I think, will never die. So, that is it for this second episode of Tom's Top 5. You know all the ways you can contact me if you have any fan mail or any mail, anything to say about me. I'm on Stitcher. We're on Facebook, so you can contact us there. You can contact the website. You can contact their email. And, of course, make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions content and all our friends. And I really don't want to pimp stuff because, again, this is in remembrance of Robin Williams, and I don't want to, become cheesy and toned down with hawking stuff. So I thank you for listening to this episode of Thomas's Top 10. I think I said Top 5 just a couple seconds ago. Whoopsie! But thank you for listening to Thomas's Top 10. I hope you enjoyed this trip down memory lane of Robin Williams movies and my listing of my favorites. If you haven't seen any of these, I hope you'll check them out. And if you have seen them, I hope you check them out again. So, until next time, my puppets, stay gold.
Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherry's already had 1,000 tales. But master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. It's heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz. You got who and how, see, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Lancer, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your melody.
Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the shine.
Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. As I'm a columnist, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me.